Welcome to our sermon series, Faith Over Fear. Today, we dive into the scriptures to see how we can be empowered to live by faith.
Today, we are concluding our series in this family month. And it's such a highlight month for us. And we started by talking about having a family dream. And the past few weeks, we've been talking about practices that can enable you to enjoy the family dream you have. And we talked about the practice of devotion to God. That's what blessed families do. We also talked about the practice of forgiveness. And last week, we talked about the practice of sexual purity. And so we started with the practice of devotion to God. Today we want to end with the practice of being devoted to one another through affection. Everybody say affection. For the last 2 years as a church, we've been holding children's non-residential camps. And so our kids go to one of our locations or a location that the district chooses, a school, and there they are being taught the word of God, and they play, they have fun, and it's amazing. But one of the things this year that we were taking them through was the subject of faith over fear and teaching them on prayer. So the children were encouraged to write their prayer requests and drop them in a particular box, and the facilitators would spend time praying for them. What the facilitators noticed was that many of the prayer requests that the children made were revolving around family. And so it captured the facilitator's interest. And so they inquired and probed a little bit more. So they asked children that many of you have said you want us to pray for family. What do you mean in family? How do you actually want us to practically pray for you in family? And the children said, our little children said, that they actually know that their parents love them. And they love their parents. But one thing they desired was to spend a little bit more time with daddy and mommy or with their guardian. What the children were saying is, we want to experience dad and mom's love. So it wasn't an absence of love. What was missing is affection. Because affection is genuine love that is expressed through words and actions. It affects the people around us and in family. Affection involves not just our heads. It involves our hearts. It involves our emotions. And so it's not just theoretically being present and saying, I love you. It's about involving your emotions as well. Our hearts in loving. So affection, this practice of affection, is one that will set up any family to be strong, healthy, and blessed. And so as we were concluding our series, we said we got to talk about this practice of affection. Where there is affection, family members will feel dignity and value and worth. Where there's affection, family members begin to feel like they belong. They are not just a number that is in the family. Unfortunately, many of us go back, not home, we go back to a house. Sometimes husband and wife are actually just roommates because there's no affection. Affection is a game changer. And affection is such a beautiful picture of the loving character of our Heavenly Father. 1 John 4:16 says, God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God. And God abides continually in him. And I want to assure you, my friends, God loves us passionately and affectionately. We see that through the Bible, the way he loved his people. It wasn't just a theoretical love. It was a practical love. Where there is true affection, my friends, in a family, there is true unity. There is true oneness in that family. It is a beautiful family to behold. when you see genuine affection and love in that family. In fact, Psalm 133 says, oh, how good, how pleasant it is when we dwell together in genuine unity. It is refreshing. And the Bible says when that happens, God commands a blessing. Affection attracts the blessing of God in the family. But the reality is that maybe for many of us who are here today, we have probably never experienced true, genuine affection in our own families. And so this subject of affection becomes a strange subject. And for some of you, you're saying, Pastor, why of all subjects have you chosen this one on affection? I understand. Because when this month was beginning, even before the family month began, I asked God to do something in my heart that would help me to be a better husband and a better father. And surprisingly, the area God wanted me personally to deal with and that he wanted to do with me is a work in my heart. I sense God saying, Julius, I want you to have a softer heart. Because your heart has become hardened. Yes, you love your wife, you love your kids, but somehow your heart is not engaged. And so my prayer was and still is, and I'm still on this journey, I've asked God, take my heart, mold it, make it, soften it, because I do not want my family to miss my heart. I don't want them to just experience my head and my hands. I want them to experience all of me. And I asked him to do that. And today, as we go through this message, I ask you to be open, so God can do something in your heart. Because sometimes we have closed our hearts. We close them not to experience affection, but we also close them not to give affection. And yet affection is a beautiful practice for strong families. And some of the reasons we have closed our hearts to affection and this subject of genuine love expressed through affection is because of some lies we have believed. And sometimes it's because of our hearts, the past hearts that we've experienced. But let me talk about some lies that I had believed that were keeping me closed and keeping my heart closed from giving genuine affection. One is I thought, and maybe this will resonate with some of you, is that, man, this subject of affection is a very childish subject. It's for children and for women. They are the ones that really need this affection thing, and females are more emotional, so that's where the affection subject works. So any man here, you might be like me and saying, yeah, that's what I really thought, but you were wrong. God created us emotional beings as well. We men who say we are ninjas, we don't show affection and emotion is a sign of weakness. Watch men when their favorite team has won the championship. They are all over the place. They are hugging people they don't know. And you tell me you don't have emotions? We have emotions, my friends. Adam, when Adam saw Eve, he went like, now this is the real deal. Bone of my own bones, flesh of my own flesh. And he said, her name won't be far from mine. She will be called woman. Let me tell you, his emotions were involved. So men, let's not believe the lie that we are not emotional. We are. Just many of us have bottled up our emotions and covered them. Yet our families need our emotions, our affection. Other lies we've believed, he says, but Pastor, If I'm to be the leader of the family and I'm to be a successful leader in my company or wherever I am, I can't be emotional. I gotta be strong. I can't show emotion. Wrong. Actually, research is being has been done, and a book has actually been written that is saying most of the effective leaders around the world, many of them have what they call emotional intelligence. They are self-aware emotionally, but they are also aware of the emotional state of their employees. And because they are emotionally aware, they are able to connect with people. So friends, being emotionally affectionate is not a sign of weakness. It's being strong. And I know some others might be thinking, like I also was, saying, you know what, Pastor? That affection idea is for the movies. It's even not our culture. We African people? No. That affection idea? Forget it. We are African. This is our culture. Wrong. We are all created in the image of God. And God gave us emotions. They are a blessing. In fact, when you see right at the beginning, our incredibly affectionate God wanted to spend time with Adam and Eve. He will come in the cool of the day to spend time with them, connecting with them. But sin came in. And sin messed up the relationship and caused Adam and Eve to hide from God. And from that time on, our emotions as humans have been affected and we get closed because of sin and its consequences. And so for many of us, we are like Adam and Eve. We are in family, but we are hiding our emotions. And with holding our affection because we're afraid. But today, may the truth of God's word set you free to practice affection in your family. So as I talk about affection, I recognize that, yes, it's true for some of us. It may have been absent in our families and we've never even experienced, known what it is. For others, where there has been a demonstration of affection, maybe it has been hypocritical, and that's why you don't believe in it. In other words, affection is only displayed to keep up appearances. So when you get guests coming to your house, the day your pastor or your boss visits you is the day your husband says, "Honey." Is the day the wife says, "Sweetheart." And the husband is like, "Why are you calling me or the pastor?" Because affection has only been applied for appearances. All of a sudden, the children hear them, you calling them dear so-and-so, dear so-and-so. The children are even surprised. They are going to the kitchen to pick something. They are wondering, what is going on here? And so that experience of affection becomes hypocritical because the moment pastor leaves, the true colors come out. And so for some of us, we are very skeptical of this affection subject because that's the experience we've had. It's hypocritical. Whereas others who are here as well and a little bit skeptical on this subject of affection is because affection has only been applied manipulatively where you are. Where you've experienced it because somebody wanted something from you. That's when they become so nice and they just want to get something. Wife becomes so nice to the husband because she wants to get something. Husband becomes nice to the wife because he wants to get something. Or even the children. They practice affection with the parents because they're looking for something. There's children who heighten their affection for their parents when their parents are about to die. You know why? They want to be in the will. They want to make it in the will. And so when their parents are sick and aging, that's when they are at home. That's when they bring good stuff. Manipulative. For others, the only experience we've gotten for affection has been conditional. In other words, the only time affection was really expressed was when we did something good. So when you brought home a very beautiful report card, oh, you're my son, I love, he's showing you off everywhere. The day that report card is not as good, I don't even know you're my child. It's totally different. Conditional affection. Wife, oh, I love my husband because he has a great job. The day he comes home and he says, I was laid off. I knew. It just changes. Everything changes. And so that affection becomes just conditional. And there could be many other reasons. But some of these make us sort of treat this subject of affection at arm's length. We fail to receive affection, but we also don't give affection. But today, may you be liberated by God's grace to genuinely love with affection. When there's no affection, marriages become dry and dull and often end up in separation or even divorce. Children become fearful in the family. They don't know if they even belong. Family members are more prone to conflict and competition because they don't even know. They look at their fellow family members as competitors, not as brother and sister or dad and mom. And it leads to all kinds of social problems, suicide, and all kinds of things, family breakdown. But here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 10. It says, let love be genuine. Everybody say genuine. And the reason Paul is very intentional on saying let love be genuine is because love can be fake. It's because there's such a thing as love that's not genuine. It's an acted love. It's not so real. And Paul is saying our love should be real when it comes to family. And hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Verse 10 says, love one another with brotherly, here the word comes, affection. And he describes it. He says, we need to outdo one another in showing honor. Amazing. Imagine families live just by these two verses. It would change family forever. Where love is genuine, where what is evil is not acceptable, but you hold fast to what is good and you love one another with brotherly affection. It's expressed. And even as family, you're trying to outdo one another in honoring each other. Man, that's such a beautiful picture of family. 1 Corinthians 6:14, Paul continues and says, everything we do, let everything you do be done in love. Motivated and inspired by God's love for us. So affection, my friend, is a godly biblical principle that will set apart our families to be strong, healthy, and happy. Now, whether you're already married here and you have a family, or you're a single person who's looking forward to marriage, or maybe you're a person who has chosen not to be married or not to be remarried and something happened, this principle still works because we are family. It's a principle that builds strong relationships. So how, you may be asking, how do we practically demonstrate affection in a family? Husband might be saying, how do I demonstrate affection for my wife? Wife saying the same thing. How do I demonstrate affection for my husband? Parents saying, how do we demonstrate affection for our kids? Kids saying, how do we demonstrate affections for each other, siblings, and even for our parents? How do we do that? When we were first married, Vanita and I, men, our dating time was full of affection. Dating couples know what affection is. You do everything to win her heart. All right? Then you get married. Then the affection begins to encounter disappointment. And, expectations begin not to be met. So when we were first married, I was men trying to outdo myself in affection. So anything that I would find as an idea, I would do. So I saw people would take flowers to their wives, and it was such a good idea. Man, flowers to show I love you. And I do that. Then I thought I'm going to be better than those people who are just taking these natural flowers because they go bad. So I came up with a strategy. Mine is going to be lasting. Okay? Is an affection strategy that lasts forever. I bought plastic flowers. I said, these ones, I don't have to repeat myself again. Remember that? And I brought my plastic flowers home because I wouldn't have to do it again. It was going to be forever. Okay. And so I brought Vanita flowers. And she's very gracious. By the way, I'm going to give you some practical steps here, okay? And not every one of them will apply in your context. Because love lands differently for different people. So with all my effort of plastic flowers, it was really a reflection of my affection. It was very plastic. But the other thing I'd done is I'd misfired. Because Vanita is not into flowers. So Vanita says, it is better you just pass by a shop or something. If you bought me an apple, that would speak more. And so I cannot force affection and say, you're going to love my plastic flowers as a way of my affection. When for her, an apple, something small, just says, you've thought about me. So as I give these steps, and they're from a book, it's called The Five Love Languages, The Five Languages of Love, and written by a guy called Dr. Gary Chapman. He's a pastor. And he just expresses, he gives practical ways in which affection is expressed. And he says, love has a language, and each of us uniquely appreciates affection. And so in family, you need to know, what is the language, the love language, the affection language for my kids and for my spouse? And then practice that. But all of them are very practical. So here's the thing, my friend. If for your spouse, what she needs is gonja, roasted bananas, don't bring very expensive roses. let your affection reach where she is so she can receive it. For our children, each of them that God blesses us with are different, and different things work for them. And in family, we must intentionally find what is it that makes this family member feel loved. Because we all want to feel loved. That's why this practice of affection is important. So according to Gary Chapman in his book, and these are just five practical things that I want to leave with you. And they're incredible, and I think they do apply even to us in our context today. He talks about, number one, this is how we can practically practice affection. Through our words, giving words of encouragement. Now let me ask you, what kind of words were spoken in your family environment? Or what kind of words thrive in your family environment? For some of us, we have heard what our neighbors are like. The only conversation a mother has with a child is at the top of her voice, screaming, saying all kinds of things. You child, what? And all of this. But maybe it's not your neighbor, it's what's happening right in your home. What kind of words are coming? Husband and wife, what kind of words are you speaking to each other? Are they hateful, hurtful words? Or are they words of encouragement and affirmation? God demonstrates this example for us. When Jesus was baptized and he came out of the water, God the Father said to his Son, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." He affirmed Jesus. Words are powerful. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Your words are so powerful that they will either kill or give life." In order to practice affection, we need to use positive, encouraging words. Words like, "I love you," and meaning it. Words like, "You mean the world to me. I thank God for you every day." We gotta express those words and mean them from our hearts. As I was going through this journey, my wife was telling me, "You know, Julius, I want to connect with your heart." And for me, it was all head. I said, "I love you," but she kept telling me, "Yeah, I know you do, but it's not yet coming. I don't feel it from your heart." And so I was asking God, "God, I bear my heart to you." And I knew she was right, because I'd closed my heart. And all I was doing things from my head. And I'm still on that journey. Even for my kids, yes, I would affirm them, but somehow I was giving affirmation with reservation, withholding a little bit, withholding a little bit. Say, "Yeah, you're great, but you could be better." Hello? Until, as God was, he's still taking me on this journey. About maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, at my kids' parents' teacher day, just going to, the teachers are taking us through what our kids had done, and my wife had gone to Gulu, so it was just me. So I went. The teacher started showing me what my kids had done, and I was like, "What? Really? You mean he did that? You mean she did that?" I couldn't believe how brilliant my kids were. And then one of the teachers said, "I want to show you something that your son wrote." He showed me something. And the question was, "Write one thing that you are so grateful for this week." And my son wrote, "I am so grateful that Dad took off time and took me to the hospital. And he stayed with me at the hospital and brought me home. I called Vanita and said, I've not appreciated our children enough. I have withheld words of affirmation. And I asked God, help me. I'm going to use my tongue to bless my family. I'm going to use my tongue to bless my wife. I'm not going to withhold. I'm going to use my words to bring life. And it's going to come from my heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Secondly, physical touch. And now when it comes to this subject, for some of us, we have been touched in an abusive way, and this subject is very sensitive. For others, the only physical touch you experienced from your parent was a punishment touch. That is all. The only time dad placed his hands on you was when he was giving you the hottest slap ever. Or he was pushing you aside and saying all kinds of things. Do you know? Physical touch that's genuine and appropriate actually communicates so much and says you belong here, but also says you are safe in this place. In fact, I was reading somewhere where they say if babies never experience physical touch, and children never experience physical touch, they will have growth problems. They will grow up to be very insecure because no human being helped them recognize that they can be safe in their arms. Ever known why babies can scream and cry until you carry them? And then they can calm down. There's a sense of security that comes with touch, appropriate touch. It says, I'm physically here for you. One time I was, again, attending our kids' sports day. We were there. And my firstborn is very competitive. And I think through the practice, he was winning the other kids in the sack race, in the sack and the in-sack race, and they're going. And this day, sports day, everybody's there. He's really tearing through. He's leading, and then he trips and falls. And all these other kids come past, and the parents go like, ooh. And that fall deeply hurt him because he wanted to show daddy what he could do and mommy what he could do. And I remember him going up in tears, crying in disappointment. And I left the crowd. I went and tapped him on the shoulder, got him up, and said, boy, you are first. You are a great runner. Physical touch sometimes means the greatest when we are at our weakest moments. It reassures. That day when your husband comes home and he's got the worst news ever that the deal didn't go through or he's lost his job, that's the time to come and put your arms around him and say, you know what? God will look out for us. It's a reassuring touch. God did it for his children in Israel as they were coming from Egypt, going into the promised land. They needed a physical evidence of God's presence with them. And God said, you know what? I'm physically going to be with you by being a cloud by day. I will shield you from the hot desert sun. And in the night when it's very cold, I'm going to be your fire by night, bringing warmth to you. So physical touch is the way we express affection in the family. I gotta finish, our time is gone. The other one is quality time. Everybody say quality time. And I have two more and I'll be done. Time says you place value on me. And as families, we need to spend time together. Husband and wife, we live in a very distracted world where, I mean, every moment something is calling for your attention. You get your phone each time there's a message coming. There's a message coming. And sometimes the phone robs us of quality time. I said, but we are there together. No, you can be at the dinner table together and everybody's in their own world. Quality time is focused attention on each other, on your children, husband and wife, saying, hey, I just want to get to dig deeper and to know where you are at. Sometimes why husband and wife or kids get lost in the family is we never take enough time to know where each of us is at. Quality time. When you invest quality time, you will get to begin to appreciate that person you are with. I know, challenge your husband and wife. If you feel like, man, I don't understand my wife, it could be an indicator you need to spend a little bit more time. Wife, if it's the same thing, or with your children, spend a little bit more time, because time allows you to dig deep. I think of Moses' relationship with God. Moses had such a beautiful relationship with God that the Bible describes Moses as a friend of God. That the way you have genuine friends on earth is the way Moses was with God. And one time on a mountain experience, Moses is having a great experience with God. And here's what God says, Moses says. Moses says to God, you know what, God? We are so tight. Could you show me your glory? And God says, Moses, nobody who sees my glory can live. But because we are spending so much time together, listen to this relationship. God says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cover your eyes and I'm going to pass by you and I'm going to show you a bit of my glory. Wow. When you spend quality time, you begin to see the glorious things in your spouse and in your children. Come on. It's just amazing. It's quality time. I don't have time, Pastor. No. Your priorities are mixed up. In fact, it's more than priority. It is a value issue. You give time to the things you value. I don't have time, Pastor, but I can sit for 2 hours and watch a football game. And not only that, you watch the pre-match, post-match, and follow up for a week to find out what is happening. But I don't have time, Pastor. That's a lie. Let's make time for our families. Fourth and second last, and I gotta land the plane, is acts of service. He talks about acts of service in this book. Do you do things to just say, I love you? Jesus demonstrated this. He washed his disciples' feet, and one of them, Peter, resisted. He even said, no, you can't do this. You can't. But Jesus was saying, I'm teaching you a principle. Learn to serve one another. Acts of service in a family say to the other person that you are so valuable, I'm willing to engage myself in physical work to just say I appreciate you. So husbands, every now and then, you can go to the kitchen and say, I'm going to cut the onions. I may not cut them properly, but I will do my best just to help you cook. Or if you can cook, I'm going to cook. I'm going to wash the dishes. I'm going to help and do something. And everybody in the family gets in. Those simple acts of love, acts of service are simply saying, hey, I love you and I love being in this place. I want to be a contributor. Acts of service. I got to finish. Let me end with this. Gifts. Gifts. He says giving gifts is another expression of affection. And the gift does not have to be very expensive. It just has to be something you've thought about and it counts for the recipient. God Almighty loves us so much as His children, He gives us gifts. We call them spiritual gifts. So let's not just give gifts on big days. Let's get into the habit of giving each other gifts every now and then. These simple applications from this beautiful book, The Five Love Languages of Love, can turn around your marriage, can turn around your family.
Thank you for listening. I hope this sets you up to choose well and excel in life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scripture and learn how we can overcome fear with our